So Moses and the burning bush, a well-known story. I'm sure if you were to name your top five stories in the Old Testament, Moses and the burning bush would be one of them. And that story has one that has captivated our hearts and our minds over the generations. From Charlton Heston's famous portrayal of the great prophet to the musical drama film The Prince of Egypt, even the very symbol of our national church, the Church of Scotland, is the burning bush, and the Latin phrase nictitum consumebatur shall never be consumed. Back in the Old Testament, God was always showing up in the most dramatic ways, engaging directly with people. And these are rich and powerful narratives that quite literally speak to our imaginations and light a fire within us if we pay attention. And it's that last part that is crucial to this story and to our story. So here's Moses out tending his flock. He probably had a lot on his mind because he goes way beyond where he should be, beyond the wilderness, we're told, and he ends up at Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And the scripture says there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. Moses stepped out of what was consuming him to notice a bush that was on fire without being consumed. Now, to understand why Moses might have had a lot in his mind, we need to remember a bit about this man. Because for many of us, we have this Charlton Heston image going on in our mind. Like, he had everything going for him. Strong, charismatic, good looking. And he may have been all of those things, we don't know. But what we do know is that he had led an unusual life. And at this point in it, it was likely in the midst of an identity crisis. He was born to a Hebrew woman at a time when the male children of Hebrews were ordered to be killed by the king of Egypt. She hides him and finally puts him in a basket, where he is found by one of the Pharaoh's daughters, and his Hebrew mother is paid to nurse and raise him. Then he lives an Egyptian life until he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave and Moses intervenes, killing him. So he flees to Midian to escape the Pharaoh's wrath, where he ends up marrying Zipporah, the daughter of a shepherd. So he's a Hebrew and he's an Egyptian. And really he is both and neither. He goes from living in the palace of the Pharaoh to being a shepherd in the wilderness. Talk about an identity crisis. And I think maybe some of that could have been what was on his mind, which is how he probably ended up so far past where one ought to be herding sheep. And this is when he encountered the fiery bush. Has that ever happened to you? Not encountering a fiery bush, of course, but I know it happens to me all the time. I'm driving along, consumed in my own mind, and I miss the turning I was supposed to take. Or maybe walking down the street, and I walk straight past the shop I meant to go into. So Moses is a bit distracted, and yet he notices this burning bush, and he turns aside. God, having heard of the cries of the Hebrew people coming out of their oppression in Egypt, meets Moses where he is and tells him that he is to liberate the Hebrew people. God wants Moses to go to the Pharaoh and tell them to let God's people go, and then lead them out of Egypt. You can almost hear Moses go, "Yeah, sure, God, I'll get right on that, right after I go and have a brain scan, or better yet, you have one." Moses, the man with an identity crisis, replies as one might expect, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" And I think sometimes we all ask that question at some point in our lives. Who am I? Am I my job? Am I my family? Am I mum, dad, son, daughter, grandfather, grandmother, granddaughter, grandson? Who am I? Am I what I see in the mirror? What do I see in the mirror? And I think questions of identity are central to who we are as a people of faith as well. It's what makes us seek answers. It's what makes us turn aside as Moses did that day, to be open to seeing God in our midst. Anyone who thinks a person of faith never questions anything obviously has never read the Bible, because it's full of people of faith asking questions, some arguing with God profusely. Questions are a part of our faith journey, because I think we are most open to hearing and seeing God when we run out of our own answers to the central questions of our life. So here we have Moses encountering God in this wild way. And God has an answer for Moses about who he is and what he is called to do. And Moses is not all that crazy about what he hears, because Moses sees himself as this imperfect lost soul, not at home anywhere, with an inability to really speak well. In fact, scholars believe he may even have had a speech impediment, and you don't see that in any of the Hollywood movies, do you? But that's the thing about God. God calls the most imperfect people, which is a good thing, because if God only chose perfect people, then he'd be doing all the work himself. So this imperfect Moses is understandably reticent. But Moses also has another burning question. Who are you? Moses wants to know what to call God. What is God's name? We heard earlier from Fiona about what we think God might look like. But what is God even called? And God says, "I am who I am." Or more precisely from the Hebrew, "I will be what I will be." Now, interestingly, God is always trying to help us with our identity questions, because it is so important for us to remember who we really are. And the even more interesting thing is Moses' identity and ours is found in God, whose identity can never fully be known. Sometimes it is in the strangest of ways that we come to really know ourselves, isn't it? I'm reminded of the Disney movie The Lion King, and it made me smile when we saw a picture of God being a very friendly and cuddly lion. But in The Lion King, the spirit of Mufasa, the dead Lion King, speaks one night to his son Simba. Simba has been hiding out in the deepest, darkest jungle, singing Hakuna Matata, doing whatever and nothing at all. He's forgotten that he was born to be king. And the ghost of his father challenges him. You have become less than you are. And that is what God is doing with Moses. And it is what God is always speaking to us as well, if we only take a moment to turn aside and listen. We often suffer an identity crisis of people of faith, even if we don't realize it. And this is because we too often box our identity as Christians as something we do on a Sunday, or something that we do at certain slots in our week. But it can never be only about that, but about what we do with the whole of our lives. There's a story about the renowned 19th century artist, Paul Gustav Dory, who lost his passport while traveling in Europe. When he came to a border crossing, he explained his predicament to one of the border guards. Giving his name to the official, Dory hoped that he would be recognized and allowed to pass. The guard, however, said that many people attempted to cross the border by claiming to be persons they were not. Dory insisted that he was the man he claimed to be. "All right," said the official, "we'll give you a test, and if you pass it, we'll allow you to go through." Handing him a pencil and a sheet of paper, he told the artist to sketch several peasants standing nearby. Dory did it so quickly and skillfully that the guard was convinced he was indeed who he had claimed to be. His work confirmed his word. And that needs to be true for us as well. Our work needs to confirm our faith. God is telling us several things about ourselves in this story. That God will meet us where we are, even beyond the wilderness, even in our darkest, deepest challenges, God will meet us. God will answer our questions if only we ask them and turn aside from our day-to-day life to listen. That we shouldn't try to box God into some limited understanding of who God is. Nor should we do this to other people, to other children of God. That God calls us to be what we will be, a people made in the image of God. Not perfect, but perfectly loved. A people called to partner with God in the work that he is already doing in the world. The privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. And God wants us to experience that privilege, to be who we are. Paul Gustav Dory was identified as being who he was by the work he created. God is known through God's actions in the world and our actions too. The question for each of us is, what work do we do that identifies us as a Christian, as people of God? The answer to that is crucial to our sense of identity. God will always love us, and grace is free to all whether we do this work or not. God would not have loved Moses any less if Moses had not listened to his call. Mufasa still loved his son Simba and always would do his best to guide him from the heavens. But both needed to live the life that they were called to live. And so do we. God calls us now to stand up for the voiceless, to free the oppressed from the hands of Pharaohs, to be the people of God that we were born to be. And before we get shaking in our sandals, like Moses, at the prospect of trying to do this work, remember what God said to him. I will be with you. I will be with you. God is with us. We never do this work alone. If we can stop for a moment to turn aside and hear God calling to us, then we will come to know, really know, who we are. And that will awaken us and transform the world. We are who we are. And through it all, God is with us. All over this world, filled with oppressed people, filled with people who hunger and thirst for love, the Holy Spirit is at work and calling us to her side. God is calling us to be who we are. Every day, for everyone, there is a burning bush waiting to be seen. Will you turn aside and take notice? Will you be what you will be? Amen, and thanks be to God.